Hey, we've been all summer leading up to this week, and next week will be our last week of talking about how we're going to make him famous. And this week, we're talking about how we make him famous in all nations and around the world. And how do we live out Acts 1:8? And it's talking about going from your Jerusalem to your Judea to your Samaria to the ends of the earth. And this morning, we're going to look at a passage that's kind of, you know, it packages that whole situation, whole Acts 1:8, in one story, in one place in Acts chapter 8. We're going to see how God plans this out. And here's what's amazing. This same story we're going to read today out of Acts chapter 8 can be lived in your life today, where the gospel can be taken to all nations. And you don't have to leave Houghton, Louisiana. You can, but you don't have to. Let's real quick. I'm going to give you a recap of God's fame plan because I think it's important for you to have a foundation of understanding from Genesis of how God's plan was to make his name famous so that all people in all nations would know him. You got to go all the way back to Genesis where he said, Adam and Eve, he said, what do I want you to do? I want you to increase in number. I want you to multiply and I want you to fill the earth. That was his plan. That his people would fill the earth so that everywhere they went, they would tell people the good news and who God is. Well, people didn't do that. People are selfish. People want the fame for themselves. And so we get to a story in Genesis called the Tower of Babel where all the people came together. They had one, it was one nation. There was one language. And what were they doing? They were building a tower to heaven so that they could make their name famous. And here's what God did. In a miraculous way, God took those people and he scattered them all over the world. He disrupted their languages and he scattered them because God has a plan. God is so concerned about all people and his desire for all people to know him and to love him. He will do whatever it takes for his name to be spread among the nations. Well, even then, God made a covenant with his people. God made the Israelites his chosen people. Why did he choose them? He chose them to be a blessing to them so that they would go and be a blessing to all nations and to all people. He blessed the nation of Israel so that the nation of Israel would go and make his name famous in all nations. And we see they stumbled with that. They had a hard time with that, much like we do. They struggled with that. So God said, you know what? I'm going to come down. I'm going to come and give you some help. I'm going to come and do what no one can do on their own. And God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come into this earth to show the greatest act of love by sacrificing his life on a cross for our sins. He died for us, but then he commissioned his disciples. He commissioned his followers, and he says, I want you to go. I want you to make disciples of all nations. I want you to start right here in Jerusalem. Then I want you to go to Judea. Then I want you to go to Samaria. Then I want you to go to the ends of the earth. You see, that's God's plan. We're part of that plan. We're right here in the mix of it in Houghton, Louisiana. We're part of God's fame plan. What are we going to do with this story? What are we going to do with Jesus? God's plan, if you remember from weeks ago, God's plan will succeed. And that's the incredible part about it. His plan will succeed. In Philippians 2, 9 and 10, we know this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's going to happen. That's his plan. His plan will succeed. The part that God offers us is say, here, I'm going to give you the most incredible experience of your life. Come join me in my plan. Come be a part of it. You don't have to. You can live your normal life, but I'm giving you the invitation to come experience life the way I intended you to experience it, and that's by joining me and making me famous in all the world. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, because some of you, I hope right now, you're sitting on the edge of your seat and you're saying, I'll go. Where do I start? How do we get this going? I want to be a part of that plan. I want to do this. Let's look at Acts chapter 8. Let's look at verse 1. And here we see where the new believers, they were gathered in Jerusalem, but great persecution took place. There we go again. We see God's plan, what happened here. All these new believers were gathered in Jerusalem at Pentecost, and great things were happening. The gift of the Holy Spirit was given, and all the believers were together in Jerusalem. And there we go again. That's where our humanity sets in. What do we want to do? Man, this is comfortable. This is good. Let's stay right here. Let's all just keep these nice, all these Christian people all together, and let's have the warmth and fuzzy and milk and cookies kind of time. And let's just keep it like this. But God had other plans. So what happened? He used persecution. It says in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Wow, Acts 1:8, go back to it. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. There we go. It's already working out right here in Acts chapter 8. Godly men buried Stephen because he was stoned to death and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. That's key number one. You want to be a part of God's fame plan and making His name famous in all nations, start right where you are. Wherever you go, wherever you are, start making His name, preach the word. So it says that Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Start right where you are. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I want to read it to you from the Message. This morning, I like the language that they use. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So start right where you are and know that every day you have the opportunity to offer your life as a living sacrifice for God to use you to proclaim His word, proclaim His love every day, everywhere you go, everywhere you are. So start right where you are, but don't get too comfortable. You see, that's one of our biggest challenges, is our comfort. You see, that very last verse in chapter 8, verse 8, he says, so there was great joy in that city. I don't know about you. I want to be where there's great joy. Amen? I'd like to be there. I like to be a part of that. I like the excitement of that. That's why I like to be here in worship on Sunday mornings. Like the song Jason was saying, there's no place I'd rather be than in the opportunity to worship with you. And I can remember as a kid, I had to be drugged. Parents had to drag me to church. Couldn't stand it. Just the opposite today, though. I love it. I would do anything to be here. I'd rearrange my schedule. I'd work hard because I know that coming here and being a part of this and the joy and the celebration that happens in here on Sunday mornings, not only is that good for me, and not only is that what God wants me to do to make Him, to give Him the glory for who He is. But man, it's also good for God's people and fellowship together. But I realize this, there is a day and there is a time that God's going to say, Brad, it's time for you to go. it's time for you to go somewhere else. And I'll have a choice I'll have to make. Man, Lord, I can follow you. I can follow your will. I can follow your desires. But I'm really comfortable here, and I really like it here. I really want to stay here because my friends are here and people are here. But, man, it comes to that point we have to make those kinds of decisions. And here we go. We see these Christians and we see Philip. They're in a city where there's great joy that's taking place. I'm going to skip over this part of the sermon, but I promise I'm going to bring it back up to you. Recently, I read an article, Seven Signs Christians Might Love Comfort More Than Jesus. I'm going to share that with you maybe next week, but because of our shortened time today, I'm going to skip over that. But I'm going to share this quote with you. I'm not sure of the author of this quote, but it says, when comfort is more important than Jesus, small groups become country clubs and churches become barricaded forts. The very ones we should be reaching for Jesus are the ones not allowed to enter. And that's what we have to be careful about with our comfort when we experience God's joy. That we remember, we're not here just to soak in. We're here to go out. And we're here to go and make His name famous. So, how do I get out of the comfort rut and go? We're going to look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Just following right along. We're going to skip one little story in Acts chapter 8. And we're going to jump over to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says, now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone down to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading the passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Great story, isn't it? Man, just imagine that's your life. The opportunity to be like Philip, to lead someone to Jesus Christ. I believe this. It's not in Scripture, but I just believe this. That somewhere when we become a believer, Christ follower, somewhere in our life and in our heart, something, a part of us, there is an area in our life that we can only find true fulfillment and joy and purpose and contentment when we lead someone to Christ. I believe that. I believe there's a part of us that God, through the power of His Holy Spirit, He says, now that you're following me, I want you to go show others how to do that. And there's going to be a part of your life that gets the greatest joy and greatest fulfillment when you do that. And so sometimes I look and I evaluate and I say, God, why does it seem like to so many people church is just boring or church just gets to be routine or church, you know, because I don't see that. Church is just monotony and it's the same thing over and over. Yeah, I guess it can be. I really do. I guess it can be. But when you're telling other people about Jesus and you're living on mission and you're trying to make God's name famous, guys, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing monotonous about that, because that's what it's really all about. Life is full of so many incredible surprises when you live that way. It's the most incredible journey that you could ever possibly take. You say, and you don't have to go anywhere. All you got to do is wake up in the morning and say, God, I'm a living sacrifice. I'm here for you today, God. Show me who you want me to go to. Show me people, God, around me today that I can invest my life in that need to know about Jesus Christ, that I can be an encouragement to. And then all of a sudden, man, our lives become full of the greatest gifts of joy because we get the opportunity of helping others. And there's just something very special about that. So how do we do this? First of all, what happens in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, it says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip. First of all, Philip had to listen. His ears had to be open. He could have stayed in Samaria where there was great joy. There was good things happening there, but he had his ears open, listening. This angel of the Lord came and spoke, said, I want you to go. He came and spoke to him. Angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road. Imagine that conversation. Philip, I know you're comfortable here. There's great joy in Samaria. People are getting saved. God's doing great things. You know, there's so much about it. I know you want to stay here, but Philip, I want you to go. And I want you to go south. Philip, okay. All right. Philip, I want you to go to the desert road. Not the desert road. And this was like no man's land. This was the road no one wanted to travel. Some scholars actually believe the timing of this would have been, when it said the desert road, would have been the middle of the day. Would have been the time that no one was traveling. No one would have been going down the desert road in the middle of the day. That would have been like asking you to do one of the most impossible things. But Philip listened. He said, go south to the road, the desert road. You know that road. It goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. For us today, basically what the angel of the Lord said to Philip was, Philip, I want you to go to the place of town you would least likely want to go. That one thing you said, God, I'll do everything but... That's it right there. But go down to the road, the desert road. And so he did. He listened. Middle of the day, he went down to the desert road. He started walking. And then gives him more instructions. He said, so he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian. So number one, we got to be listening. Number two, one of the hardest things to do, get started. Anybody in here have a problem getting started on projects? I know I show up, whoop, hands going up. I know I show up sometimes and to work, and there's just certain things I just don't like to do. Certain projects that I just, man, oh, I got to do this. And a lot of times the hardest thing to do is get started. Once you get started, it kind of like all starts coming in together. We need somebody put a timer on this. How long does it actually take to go down? And you have to pull it back up again. So he says to get started. That's something that's hard to do for us. So what do we need to do to get started? And what's interesting about this is that he got started immediately. A lot of times when we have to think through something for so long, we talk ourselves out of it. We'll talk ourselves out of doing the things that God's asked you to do, or speaking to people, or going and being a small group leader, being a mentor. We start talking ourselves out of those things. When we hear in that small voice of the Lord saying, I want you to teach, I want you to mentor, I want you to do something at your job, I want you to do something in your neighborhood. Oh, if we don't get started immediately, we'll talk ourselves out of it. And sometimes we allow Satan to come in and to throw in those little ideas of God didn't really say that, did he? It's amazing to me that he got started on this. He had very little instruction. He was leaving a thriving situation. If he would have thought through his situation and thought through what he was going through, he'd have said, that doesn't make sense, God. Samaria's on fire. Why would I go down the desert road? Please, that doesn't fit. But he did. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is convince ourselves to start. Zig Ziglar, he said this, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. The next thing, after you've listened and you've gotten started, expect divine intervention. On this desert road where no one should be traveling, on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopian. Through the first century Romans and Greek Ethiopians lived literally, you ready? At the southern edge of the earth. Philip started in Jerusalem. And he was moved to Samaria. And now, through obedience of going down the desert road, he meets a man that lives at the end of the earth. Go to all the nations. Let me tell you, the nations are here. They're all around us. They're here in Houghton, Louisiana. You have on your phone access to the nations. You have on your computer access to the nations. And we also have opportunities here to go to all the nations. This Ethiopian eunuch just happened to be, he went to Jerusalem to worship. And somehow, some way while he was there, he was searching for a God. He was searching for something in life that was more powerful than himself. And somehow he was in Jerusalem and he was worshiping there. Somehow he got a hold of the scriptures. And on his way back home, as he was traveling, he was reading the scriptures. And lo and behold, out of nowhere, this man is walking down the desert road, and all of a sudden, this man becomes a stalker for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit told Philip, Philip, I want you to go chase that chariot. And so what did Philip do? Philip started walking or running beside that chariot long enough that he heard what the man was reading, or actually someone was reading to him inside that chariot. He heard that, he listened to that, and then he heard the Lord said, hey, I want you to go and talk to him. And so Philip opened up a conversation. And he opened up, do you have any questions about this? And the man had questions about this. And so he was able to take from where he was in the scripture, and Philip was able to present the gospel to this man. What an incredible opportunity. What an incredible story to show how God takes us from where we are and gives us an opportunity to make his name famous in all nations. I wonder tomorrow morning if you'll wake up and say this prayer. God, I don't know where to start. God, I don't know what this is going to look like. But today, God, I'm going to pray. Take me down the desert road. I dare you. I dare you to see where that leads. Because for this Ethiopian eunuch, what just happened to him changed his life forever. Because one man listened to God. He started immediately. He expected divine intervention, and God brought that divine intervention, that divine moment. And now you have a man who knows Jesus Christ, who is saved for all eternity, because this man, Philip, said, God, I'll live out Acts 1:8 right here, right now.